the voice of the Dallas Cowboys, coming up on his 40th year, ladies and gentlemen. He's one of my favorites in the business. I've grown up listening to him, and I always love talking Cowboy football with him. The voice of the Cowboys, Mr. Brad Sham. How you doing, Brad?
I'm doing good, Dusty. How are you, Animal Monsters, today?
We are doing fantastic. Thanks for asking. Man, there's so much to get to. It's been a crazy offseason for the Dallas Cowboys. But I got to start with one of my all-time favorite, and I mean all-time favorite Cowboys, who will not be wearing the star anymore after 15 seasons, Jason Witten. He calls it quits. Did you see this coming? And just your thoughts on what he meant to the Cowboys organization.
Well, I did not really see it coming very much before it happened. I had not had any conversations with him that included him doing television. I know he wants to coach. I think that I don't want to speculate too much because I'd be putting words in his mouth, which is unfair. But I think that he might have looked at, even though John Gruden coached before, he turned that Monday night thing into a bigger coaching platform. I don't want to say that's why Jason decided to do this now, but I do think that he had a really good opportunity. I think that what he could turn it into was part of it, and the opportunity came at a time when he, as he said himself at his press conference, you know, it's better to walk away 3 hours too early than 5 minutes too late, and it's hard to know when that is. So he's one of my all-time favorites. What he's meant to the franchise, when you put everything together, player, leader, community guy, integrity, father, man, then he's, whoever else you want to put on the Mount Rushmore, he's on it. He's as good as it gets.
In terms of the flamboyant guys that catch passes around the league, for people that aren't the fans of the Cowboys, and Brad, you saw all his games and called all his games. I mean, what did his consistency at the high level of consistency that he played with mean to the team?
Well, earlier in his career, he had fluidity down the field. He never lost the ability to get open because he studies so much. His knowledge of the game is so deep. And if you want to have a little sense of it, go on Google or YouTube or somewhere and find Jason Garrett's remarks about Witten and the Y option play at Witten's farewell press conference. I mean, I think that kind of tells you what he still meant, what he still could do. I mean, they'll replace him as a tight end, but I don't know how they'll replace him as a leader. It'll take a long time to do that.
What do you think about in the broadcast booth? You think he's going to step in there and hit the ground running, kind of like we saw with Tony?
I think that I would say that he'll be successful at whatever he does because that's who he is. I think there are unique challenges. Dusty, you know about them. Mm-hmm. When you step into a booth for the first time, it doesn't really matter how much you love the game, and it doesn't really matter how much passion you have for it, and even how well you can communicate it, there are things that come at you in communicating your thoughts in a finite period of a few seconds with other things that you have to pay attention to, director, producer, monitor, crowd, broadcast partner, notes, all of it. You got to learn not to have an open cup of coffee sitting on your table. I mean, there's 1,000 little things that, until you sit down and do it, you don't know what it's like. I think Romo maybe, he made it possible for a lot of guys to walk in and do it with no, in essence, no minor league ball. But everybody won't be able to do it like him. Every situation won't be the same. And I don't have any reason to believe Witten won't do it very, very well. He does have an extra little challenge in that Booger McFarland part of the equation. He's going to be, in essence, a third man on the field. And Darryl Johnston has already talked to Witten about it because Johnston had to navigate Tony Siragusa. A lot of folks may remember when Goose, who's a very entertaining guy in the same way that McFarland's an entertaining guy, but he had a an open mic on the field. He could jump in whenever he wanted. And that was something that Darryl, who had already done it for a little while when they put Goose on their team, Darryl had already done it for a little while. He knew a little bit about what to expect, but that's a real nice graphic. I saw a picture of the four ESPN people online, so they got, I guess it's Lisa Salter going to be on the sideline, and McFarland, and Tessitore and Witten in the bit. That's a lot of folks to say a lot of words in a very few seconds. And I'm not saying anything other than it might not be as easy as it sounds. But if they let Jason Witten do his job, then he'll be successful at it.
What did you think of the Leighton Vander Esch draft pick?
You know, I haven't seen him play, but it's just a few film clips. But I thought it made great sense because, first of all, it does not appear that he reached. They took him about where all the observers going in said he should be taken. And that filled a screaming need. They had a need, a big need, maybe even at wide receiver. They had a screaming need at linebacker when they didn't re-sign Hitchens. And I thought it was really pretty simple to see that when you looked at the disparity between the linebackers in the first round and where they were and dropping down to the second or third round, that disparity was much greater to me than between the receivers. And they wound up getting Gallup, who may be as good as any of them when it's all said and done in the third round. They wouldn't have gotten anything like Vander Esch in the second or third round. So if he can play like they think he can play, then that's a really good pick.
Talking with Brad Cham, voice of the Dallas Cowboys. Next year will be his 40th season to call Cowboy football games. In the second round, they go offensive line. Connor Smith, a guy we've seen quite a bit of out of Texas. Sorry, Connor Williams, a kid we've seen a lot of out of Texas. And, you know, for me, my guess is they saw that when they lost Leary, they weren't the same offensive line that they were two seasons ago. Does Connor, does this draft pick, does that get them back to being the offensive line they want to be, in your opinion, Brad?
Well, it gets them closer. I mean, I thought they went into last season hoping that Chaz Green or Jonathan Cooper could do it, and hope is not a plan. And Green had never played guard in his life. And they tried to force him to become one, and that failed. And in Williams' case, it seems to me, even though he's been a tackle, you know, Zach Martin was a tackle at Notre Dame, Williams' arms being a little bit shorter seemed to make him much more of a natural fit at guard. He probably has to get a little stronger, but he'll be able to do that. He's got great character and work ethic, and I believe he walks in the door as the left guard. And so they now, when they start their OTAs next week, then when they have a team drill and they call the first team, then I would say Williams runs out with the first team, and that's an upgrade over what their situation was last year when they were in a great deal of flux. It also lets Lyle Collins play tackle. And, you know, I'm sure he'll get some guard reps just to stay fresh, but you don't have to worry about it. And so, I mean, his senior year, you guys saw him more than I did, but his senior year, you know, he had some injuries. And before that, he played a whole lot better. I think it was a really good pick. If you'd have given me my choice of anybody, I'd have loved to have the kid from UTEP, but the Giants took him with the second pick in the second round. And so I think Connor Williams was a really, really solid pick, and it addressed a very big need. So I liked it.
What's the secondary going to look like, Brad? I mean, with some transition back there, some moves, do you feel good about that going to the OTAs?
You know, I think going into the OTAs, who knows? I think that the addition of Chris Richard as the coach for the back seven, really, who was a critical part of the machinery in Seattle, I think that's a big plus. And I think that, you know, they'll have to have someone step up as a depth safety. But, I always think that guys in their second year usually make the biggest stride. And so I think I said to you guys in the summer last year, when you drafted Awuzie and Lewis and Xavier Woods, and they all got hurt in training camp. And so by the second half of the year, they might have a chance to make a contribution. That's exactly what happened. And so I think those three guys can play. And they even like Marquez White, who they drafted, was on their practice squad last year. So my guess would be, if they didn't, barring something from some rookie free agent that I'm not familiar with yet, that Byron Jones, in a standard defense, Jones is going to be a corner now again. So probably Jones and Awuzie would line up the first day as the corners and Lewis as the slot guy. They'll miss Skandrick's leadership, but I think he needed a new start, a fresh address. And then Woods showed that he can play in the slot last year. And, you might feel better if you had another solid safety to compete with Heath and Kayvon Frazier. I think those guys are good football players. So I think that especially with the maturation of the guys who were rookies last year and the addition of Chris Richard, if they could find another safety for depth and competition, that would be a good thing. But otherwise, I think they got a chance to be pretty decent back there.
Hey, Brad, Dez Bryant, longtime Cowboy. The Cowboys, I think, made the right decision and moved on from him. His production just wasn't on par with the level of his play. I still think he can play, just not at the level he's being paid, which in the NFL we both know that means there's the door. I am surprised two things, though, that the Cowboys didn't try to restructure, which they do so much with their guys, and the fact that Dez Bryant hasn't been as highly sought after as he's been. Behind the scenes in the locker room, is he a bigger problem than what maybe most people would think? Like, because me, I've always looked at the sideline antics, and I don't put that much stock into him. I don't think it's as big a deal as what a lot of people make them. But after seeing the Cowboys didn't want to restructure, and there aren't people really out there going after him, maybe I'm starting to relook at that. What's Dez Bryant like in the locker room? Things that we don't get a chance to see.
So I think the sideline antics in the locker room, as you know, are different things. And
right.
And I think that the sideline antics can get annoying to some guys in the heat of battle, but they understand, and it's not really a problem. You can yell at a guy to shut up, and that happens all the time. And guys who are great friends yell at each other, and some guys, just have to act out on the sideline. I think... To me, Dez is not a bad locker room guy. Dez was not somebody that you just didn't want to have around the younger players. His work ethic is as great as ever. His passion for the game is as great as ever. There are other things that don't make him a bad guy, and he always wanted to be a good teammate. I always respected that about him, still do. There are things that do not make him a bad guy in the locker room. But when you are time challenged off the field, and when your level of responsibility off the field is not commensurate with a guy who is an elite receiver, and then you have the playing regression that he had, drops, his legs are not quite what they used to be. I agree with you, Dusty. I think he's still a good player. But I think that when you look at all of the things off the field, and again, I want to really emphasize, this is not a guy who is a bad guy, and he's not a guy who I think was a problem in the locker room. But if you want, if you're restructuring your team, especially, and at the time I don't think they knew that Whippen was leaving, but, you want a leader, and a leader is not late to meetings, and a leader is where he's supposed to be. And a leader, if he's a receiver, he can run whatever kind of route you want to throw at him. And Michael Irvin was all of those things. And I think when you combine the areas off the field where Dez fell short with the physical regression and the salary, then I think that you can understand why they made the decision they made. It was not an easy one for them. I think I think one of the reasons they didn't try to restructure is it just took them a long time to decide whether they wanted to cut the cord or try to figure out a way to make it work. By the time they made their decision, I'm not sure there was time for a restructure. He'll get a job, and he'll be in a camp. I do think that it is somewhat telling that he hasn't had his door being broken down, but I wouldn't overreact to that either. I think people like to, you know, you get to the draft, you see what you get, things settle down, maybe you go through a week of OTAs, and he'll get a job. He'll be in training camp, and he is still a good player, but I just do think you have to know what your expectations ought to be in all areas.
He's Brad Sham, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys. This will be his 40th season coming up, still as good as ever. Brad, thanks so much for the time. Love talking Cowboys with you, sir.
Thank you, boys. Have a great day.